Welcome to Mom Cave Live, where we may have lost our minds, but we haven't lost our senses of humor, and we haven't learned how to use technology as well as we should. I'm Jen, and our guest tonight is Dr. Frida. There she is. Hey, Dr. Frida.
Hi, welcome. And I'm telling you, I love your introduction because it really takes me away. I love it. It's such a great scene. And everybody gets together and argues and has conflict. And then they go and they're like the perfect little family. You know,
It's just because if you hear that I slam the door, the mom slams the door because she can't take anymore. We go in our mom cave. And sometimes that's the only way to get any quiet,
I see a mom cave. So that needs to be part of the housing theme.
Right, definitely. If you all haven't met Dr. Frida before, she was on a previous episode we did, which is fascinating because she's known as the oldest woman in America to have given birth to twins at age 60. So you're a superhero, first of all, yeah. But that's not what we're going to talk about tonight. So go find that if you want to hear about that. But tonight, in her capacity as a therapist, a psychoanalyst, Dr. Frida is going to help us out on the issue of family dysfunction, which we all have, and codependency. So, first question, it's a really simple question. I've always heard this term, codependent. What the heck does that actually mean?
And I hate to say this because most of us are codependent on someone, and it gets us into trouble. Because then we complain that we're being controlled. No, we're starting it. We're asking for it. Especially women, I want you to tell me what to do. What do you think? And then they complain, I'm getting a divorce. You're controlling. You're too much. I can't take it. Well, duh, you know, you started it. So we need to be responsible for our behavior. But basically, what it means is that you don't have boundaries. That you feel you have to be responsible for somebody else. And again, we're going back to gender identification. It all starts when you're a child. We can blame everything on our parents and not take responsibility, which in a way...
Isn't it all their fault? I think it's all their fault.
It's all their fault. But you know, today we can't even blame our mothers anymore because they're saying that fathers... are the ones that children really role model after, not the mothers. So therapy needs to change. Stop blaming your mothers. Come in and blame your fathers.
But yeah, just blame both. But once you become a parent, then you have a little more, at least I do. I'm like, oh, I'm going to stop blaming them because somebody's going to be blaming me eventually.
Oh, yes. But, you know, the healthy part, and then we'll get back to the topic, is that it is healthy to blame your parents while you're with your parents. So teenage rebellion is actually good for you because otherwise you do end up going to therapy because you have repressed emotions. So my twins will not need therapy, I assure you.
Neither will the 13-year-old who you may hear stomping around upstairs at any moment.
I love it. That's being in a natural environment. So we're getting back to codependency.
Yes.
And what is it all about? And I was saying there's a lot of gender ID, the way a young girl has been brought up more in the past to serve, and then she grows up as an adult and she serves. And a young boy is taught to go out into the world and to prove himself. So he's not as dependent as this girl who's saying, here, am I good enough? I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm serving. Today, hopefully, research has shown that when fathers look at their young girls, not when they're achieving puberty and getting this attention, this sexual attention, and supports their athletic abilities, tennis, their grades in math and in school, then we won't have this codependency issue as much, basically, with women. And, you know, 60% of students, guess what, in college, are females. So that's, so that's really changing. So as women are more educated, have more higher status careers, they're going to be more independent and relationships will be equal. So we're brought up to feel guilty. We're brought up to feel that, God forbid, if we do anything, that other person's going to fall apart and die without us. And then the other stage of it is there's this red flag that these people manipulate you to take care of them. So, you know, the topic lately has been gaslighting. And then, you know, with therapy, whatever. And these people gaslight you. They're narcissistic, and they want you to take care of them. They want you to be selfless. So they're not so innocent in this. And we all find our familiar territory. So we often marry someone. We end up with somebody similar to who we had as an opposite sex parent. And we say, okay, I couldn't do anything about that then. I was a child. They were the authority. Now here's my chance. I'm going to do it. So then we repeat the same thing. We're stuck with the same thing again, and we don't know how to get out of it because we feel that something horrible, if we're not responsible and take over, that that person is not capable of doing it. So we lose our sense of self, our self-esteem. We lose our direction of who we want to be, what we want to be. I'm looking at myself, wow, what a mess. But, you know, basically, that really defines what you are, who you are. So don't pick a partner that you're going to try to fix and make up for what you didn't have as a child. And that's something so common. And we do it on an unconscious level. And we spend the rest of our lives trying to make that difference with that person who never asked for it. And then we blame them for all the things that happened to us before, who they had no idea about.
And they're doing the same to us. So it's just a big mess.
That's true. So, you know, here you are at the end of the day, you're trying to unwind, complain about whatever's going on. And then you're caught, as you're saying, in this web of back and forth, of this familiar feeling that's dysfunctional, but comfortable for you.
Interesting.
So there's comfort in dysfunction, because it goes back to something that you know that there's a fit for you. And often if somebody has it all going and is emotionally healthy, you may feel threatened that you won't be good enough, that that person is more evolved than you, is in a better place than you, won't want to take you along. And so, as you said, it's this web, and that other person actually keeps you in bondage, which means that they don't remember when they're acting out. They don't remember when they're doing anything selfish. They won't go to therapy because, of course, they don't want to change. Why would they want to go to therapy? And so all this of you're the one that's making it up, it's your problem. But after a while, people say, you're not the same. You don't look the same. You don't act the same. And you lose concept of who you are and your friends and your relatives, because the person you're with does not really want you to be with your friends and relatives, because then they can't manipulate you the same way. So you're caught here. And it's very, very scary when you're in this situation, because guess what? You end up finding somebody like that again. And then you wonder, why is it I meet the wrong people all the time? And you can't be with somebody if you feel that that person is going to be all of you, because that person knows that and takes advantage of it because you're very needy. If you're with somebody who is part of you, because you already have your life going, you're already accomplished, you're already in a good place. If you find, you know that when you're in a good place, everybody wants to be part of you. If you need somebody, when you really need somebody, then they back off. Just when you really need them, then you don't get what you really want. So this is, you know, the rules of life. We do this in such a way that is we don't think it through. We're just acting it through. So you need to start with a place of yourself always, a place of you finding out, and the little time you've spent on you, you'll see that you're making much more of a difference, and you'll be less codependent on another person.
So you made the great point that, of course, what would solve everything is if we didn't choose this person in the first place. But assuming we did choose a person that we have this unhealthy relationship with, and we're not wanting to not be around that person, what can we do?
You know, this is very difficult to do, because when you're so committed to this role model, it's like losing a sense of yourself. It's like saying, I am not going to identify with who I've been all my life. And that's very scary. Will you be dropped? Will you be alone? the rest of your life? Would nobody want you because you're not going to be true to the image that you've been set up to be? So that dependency issue becomes something that gets you stuck. Mm-hmm. Now, the only way to really do that is to, it's like taking a plunge, a cold plunge, and to go cold turkey and say, okay, I'm going to do this. It's going to be painful. I'm not going to be happy. And I'm really going to want to go back to that other place automatically. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, hold me back because I'm coming through again. No, don't do that. Don't go over there. And after a while, you'll start feeling what it is like to feel healthy. Because the problem is these people don't know what the base core feeling of healthy is anyway. So they're just used to that. And once they get that sense of what that means, then they start looking for someone who's more like that person they become. And then mm-hmm. that relationship. And, you know, we're talking about codependency, not only in a relationship, but we're talking about codependency at work as well. You have to be careful that the people that you are, you know, socializing with, they don't know too much about you. Mm-hmm. And not to be too vulnerable, because you want to have a powerful image. You want people to listen to you. If they hear your weak point, they're going to walk away. You're going to forget what you said. They're going to remember everything. So be very careful about friendships at work. Don't, you know, muddle the line between mm-hmm. What your responsibilities are, because after a while, when responsibilities are set up and you say, oh, well, what's good for you? And what is it you want? And what makes you happy? You'll be left in the dark. You'll have resentment. And that business relationship will also be affected and dwindle because of it. So you have to really know where to set boundaries for work as well.
Yeah. And so, well, we've talked about romantic relationships. We've talked about work relationships. What about parent-child relationships? How do you navigate a sort of codependent parent-child relationship?
That's very difficult because you have to think about what does it mean to be a good parent? Do you have qualities where the child is the one that tells you what they need and go ahead and follow through? Or should you be a helicopter parent, authoritative, and make all the decisions and I'm the one in charge and the bottom line is me? But the healthiest way to be is to have the child be supported for what they want and direct it in a healthy manner. So it creates independence, not codependency, where that child has confidence in making decisions. Because the scary part is, if they don't, other people will be making it for them. That's not necessarily a good thing. So that's really for codependency, to have an independent child. Actually, helicopter parenting makes a very dependent child.
Yes.
Because the child can't do anything. You know, it reminds me when my kids were in elementary school and they had to do some kind of billboard or something of something that looked, the whole thing looked gray, looked horrible, but they did it and I took it to school. And I said, God, will they even know what this is? And then everybody came with something like a professional artist did it. And I guess they did hire a professional artist. And I said, I can't believe this, because these parents were competing against each other. So how are these kids going to do any, how are these kids going to learn anything or grow? Because that's what, when you overdo it. So you can't just say it's all yours, because that's really lazy parenting.
Right.
But I liked what I was listening to, that they're screaming and the husband's saying and all the dogs barking and all that stuff. But you know, what I like about the beginning of your segment, believe it or not, is that everybody has a voice. Everybody's out. Think about
it. We have some loud voices in this family.
We think about this, you know, perfect family. You know, there's a problem brewing under there if there's a perfect family, because life has issues and there's always going to be something. Somebody said something happened, you didn't do well, whatever that is that we get bothered about, that we forget about anyway. So I love that, because that's a slice of life. And when you can be that person and speak up, then there aren't codependency issues, because everybody has a voice, no matter how difficult it is. Now, my son, when he was fixing this, It's a good thing you didn't hear what he was saying. I said, you better watch what you're saying, because if they hear you, they're really going to think I'm incompetent with this stuff, which I am. So, you know, as I said,
even an expert has parenting struggles.
Are you kidding me? When they come to my office, he will tell them, why are you coming to see her? She doesn't know what she's doing. I'm not. So well, he speaks up. But, you know, it all trickles back to who you are and how you integrate what's happening to you and knowing the truth about it. And so when we get to codependency, it's really about having the ability to give through your own wisdom, through your own knowledge, and then people will really grow. But if you give because of their neediness, their victimization, their inadequacies, how far can you really go? You're starting very, very low. And then what happens with that, the relationship becomes one where that so-called victim makes you more of a victim, mm-hmm. because you're prey to what it is their need. They're the ones that are getting taken care of, and you're left alone, and you're not the one. So don't think, because if you're codependent and you're giving because you feel guilty or fear something's happening to that person, don't think that you're doing anything that that person really needs you for. What you're really doing is stripping yourself of having... So speaking of stripping yourself, I told my husband I have a show. Now, is this...
And he doesn't silence the phone. Never.
Is this smart or what?
That's quite okay. Hey, we've
been there for a long time. This is it. It's over.
Okay, I was going to ask you, how do you know when it's over? It's when the phone rings and you're on a Zoom.
The phone rings when you know... That, you know, when you have, it's interesting because I love what I do. And one of the reasons I love it, because he will not bother me. I'm on a show. I'm on a podcast. I'm on the radio. Leave. And wow, he goes. I'm finally heard.
Hey, how long have you been married, Dr. Frieda?
How long do you think I've been married? And don't look at the way I look today. Oh, my God. All these. A lot of work. But that's okay.
30 years.
50.
Oh my goodness. That's a whole other topic. 50 years.
That's another topic.
That's amazing. Yeah. But
and guess what? I'm going to interrupt you.
Yes.
If you keep growing and you keep changing, because that's what life should be. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, what do the years mean anyway? It's like a drop in the bucket. It's like nothing.
Really?
Because you keep evolving, you keep changing. I'm not the same person he met.
No.
When I was in my 2020.
Yeah. And, you know, I made a TikTok once and a lot of people disagreed with it. I've been married 20 years now. And I said,
think of me and don't be afraid of that number.
Okay. But you know how people will say, well, we're breaking up because we're not the same people anymore. And I'm like, how can you be? If you meet someone when you're one age and it's 20 years later, you better be different people. And that's the challenge, is learning how to keep being different people together. That's a tough part.
But, you know, the truth is that the double standards of 50s and 60s, maybe even, were very boring. And men had their own separate life. They were unfaithful. They were bored because women stayed at home and waited for the man to come home and bring excitement. So who wants to be with somebody who's waiting for you to bring something? You want somebody to share the excitement. It's two people bringing joy together than one person being responsible. So it really wasn't great for the man either, that the man had the responsibility, not only financially, but to keep everything afloat, to make mm-hmm. the decisions. Even if a child wasn't behaving, they would say, I'm going to tell your dad, I'm going to tell your father. When he comes home, watch out. Right. The poor guy had to do everything. You know, and then on top of that, we blamed them for everything, too. It was all their fault. So, you know, when we're looking at really how men and women behave and what a healthy relationship is, you need to change. It's the opposite of what your friend said. You need to change to make it exciting. And you need to sometimes even take turns when one partner is doing something. I put my husband through law school when we were married. He helped me with my career after that, after he became an attorney. Because at my time, it was, you know, when are you having children? Mm-hmm. Not what are you doing?
Right.
And, my father and mother would say, when you marry somebody, that's when you'll have a life. Till then, no life, no nothing. So you have to wait. You know, it depends what your husband does. So, you know, but I was jealous. I said, well, what about me? I'm going to stay home. And I remember one scene, I'm home and I have the baby, my first child, and with the food in a jar, baby food.
Yeah.
And he has a three-piece suit on. He's wearing his attaché case. He's ready to go to work, and I'm jealous. You know, I'm eating baby food while he's going to have lunch out with his friends and have a good time. So I said, wait a minute. This has to stop. I'm going to go in a whole different direction, and which I did. I'm happy That's to fair. Say. But yeah. I wasn't called to get back into what we're talking about.
All right.
I have a way of unraveling stuff. I wasn't codependent, and I wasn't looking to be liked by him. I said to myself, I have to have a life. If he fits into it, rather than me fitting into his life, then this has a chance. And ever since then, he's been fitting into my life with everything I've been doing, and proud and supportive. And so it's fun. It's really a lot of fun, because you can't be threatened what the other person's doing. Now I'm thinking of a show idea.
That's another one we've got to work on. Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like you found a way to make yourself happy while still being a great mom and still being, you know, a partner that could negotiate. It's about negotiation, I feel. A lot of negotiation in marriage, for sure.
You know, we're selfish. We have to have it all. You know, we're not greedy. Yeah. It's just that if you don't have one, another part is missing. I'll let you talk.
That's true.
I just interrupted you.
No, I could talk to you all night, but of course I hear running around teenager upstairs. I want everybody to check out Dr. Frida. She has her own podcast. She's written a couple of books, which I put in the comments. And we're going to have to talk again, because you always have such interesting insights. You can continue to leave comments.
It will be done next time, I promise you.
No worries. Thank you so much. Have a great night.
Love you. My pleasure. Always a pleasure seeing you. You look fabulous.
Thanks. You too. Bye-bye. Bye, everybody.